scoring your first career touchdown on an 83-yard punt return and then getting out. Whew. Did Deontay Spencer just come up with a new trademark, or did he break a commandment? Say hello, panel.
Hello, panel.
Let's go.
Hi.
I mean, it's a strategically placed lightning bolt. It really is. Bills 26, Steelers 15. Godspeed! Buffalo a breath away from clinching the AFC East for the first time in 25 years. And for Pittsburgh, how 11-0 turned into 0-2 the last 2 weeks. Now looking up at Kansas City for the one seed. Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you. Are you beginning to doubt whether the Steelers can ever get back to being the team that they were just 2 weeks ago? And how signature a win for Buffalo?
I'm not sure they ever were the team that you thought they were, Tony, and other people thought they were because of that record. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think they'll get back to whatever that was. They were slipping for 2 or 3 weeks before they lost to Washington. Then they followed that up with last night. They've seen the only bye in the AFC slide away to the Chiefs. And, you know, Chris Collinsworth pointed out last night about not only do they not run the ball, they don't even try play action. They just keep Ben Roethlisberger back there in shotgun. You got 5 wide receivers. See if you can complete a pass to one of them. See if they don't drop it. They become very easy, easier to defend. They don't score 20 points very often. And the offense has let down a great Steeler defense.
Emily Kaplan, when you hear Ben Roethlisberger say, we got to look ourselves in the mirror here, well, what do you think they're seeing back?
First, the only thing that's preventing this from being a signature win for the Bills is the lack of Bill Mafia and a ceremonial table smash before the game.
Okay.
That said, I am worried about the Steelers' offense. Their rush offense has totally disappeared. It's been the worst in the league since week 7, just 2.2 yards per carry the last 2 games. And I'm worried about Big Ben. He's clearly hobbled, clearly throwing the ball too much, and he has a relationship as such with his offensive coordinator that he has too much latitude at the line of scrimmage. All he wants to do is throw the long ball. All he can't do right now is throw a long ball with good velocity.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez, let's take in the Steelers here. Again, Ben Roethlisberger said we got to look ourselves in the mirror. What's looking back at them right now?
Well, I was actually thinking about what the other quarterback said, Josh Allen, when he talked about at halftime being within a couple of points or leading by a couple of points and realizing, oh, there's nothing to be intimidated by here. And with the Steelers, the only thing there really was to be intimidated by was their record. Because as Tim mentioned, they don't run the ball. They're not very tough on that side of the ball, right? And if you watch, and they talked about it in the early part of the game yesterday, how quickly Ben is getting the ball out when he is back there. And that, it felt like Buffalo knew that. It felt like they knew the short passing game was coming. You saw that first pick 6 was on a little short crossing pattern. And there's no intimidation factor there. There's no real style that says that's how the Steelers are going to beat us. You take away the running game, you take away the short passing game, then what do you have there? So I do think there's something missing there from the Steelers, and I don't think they can ever recover that 11-0 energy.
Mm-hmm. And Jackie McMullen.
Absolutely. When you talk about the running game, they take away the running game. And I don't even know if they have to take it away because they're not even trying to run the ball. And, you know, you have to wonder about James Conner. He came back from injury. You thought maybe he'd give him a lift. That hasn't happened. I can't help but think, and I know this was in the past, but I can't help think about Le'Veon Bell and what Le'Veon Bell would do for this football team. Mm. But I'm with Izzy. When I really start thinking about this football game, I'm thinking about the Buffalo Bills the whole time, Tony. I can't believe that the game that Josh Allen had. In the first half, they're pressuring him all over the lot. He stands in there, he takes hits, and then he comes back in the second half and just picks them apart. He was 7-for-14 on third down.
Yeah.
That's an elite quarterback. It's time to call Josh Allen an elite
quarterback.
Okay,
it is.
23 rushing
Very
touchdowns.
True. That is a banned word in the show. Career. You didn't use it once. You used it twice. So you're going consecutive sentences there for Jackie McMullen. But let's dig deeper here on the Buffalo Bills.
Elite's elite, dude.
The possibility that they are the second best team in this conference. Now, maybe we're going to see the second best team in the conference tonight. Tim Kalishaw, what did Buffalo show you?
They are. I believe they are. I think the Colts might, by the time the playoffs come, be battling with Buffalo for that. I think Pittsburgh is just in that group. But Buffalo, you know, they do a little bit of everything, and their defense as much as we malign the Pittsburgh offense, their defense showed a lot last night. They make big plays. They turned the game around with the interception, with the pick six right before halftime. So I think they're a complete
Israel
team.
Israel Gutierrez?
I do think that they're a complete team. I think they're going to be a lot of trouble. I love the season that Stephon Diggs is having. It must feel great coming from Minnesota and then having this season. He is a technician out there. It must be so much of a relief to have that sort of a security blanket if you're Josh Allen out there, knowing that if he's not open initially, if you sort of let the play drag on a little bit, he will get open for you. He's been amazing all season.
Amazing. That's a word we'll use for now. It's not banned yet. It could be banned in the very near future. Jackie Mack, just, I mean, it was like you were walking into a race and you were just hitting him one after the other, after the other. We knew the AFC playoff picture was going to crystallize this week. The NFC, that's a shocker. Number one in your conference, number one in your hearts. Green Bay, by way of win over Detroit, New Orleans, the stunning loss to Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Let's start with Hurts and how, versus the number one defense, a flesh-eating defense, Hurts rose to the occasion and got the 24-21 win. None of you thought this could happen. How did this happen, Israel Gutierrez?
You're right. I definitely didn't think this could happen. But if it was going to happen, it was going to be sort of this element of surprise. And even though the Saints is a great front seven, obviously a great defense, and they practice against a mobile quarterback, you can't really anticipate having a guy run for 100 yards against you, right? And so, and you had Miles Sanders out there taking 8 yards every carry out there. So obviously there was something going really well with that Philly offensive line, and it was very confusing with the Saints defense there. But in terms of Jalen Hurts, he is just a lot more decisive. He knows he has those legs as weapons, as opposed to Carson Wentz, who was always sort of just a last-ditch effort there. And if you just look at the yards per play, 6.3 with Hurts out there, 4.8 with Wentz out there, that's a huge difference. That's a difference between the Chiefs and, I believe, the Browns in terms of yards per play. It is vast difference, but I don't know if it's just, hey, teams are never going to figure out Jalen Hurts. I think they eventually will. This just came as a shocker because it was against that defense.
Emily Kaplan, what did you see?
I don't want to use the same E word that Jackie used, but I will use Israel's word, decisive, and that's what Jalen Hurts was. He avoided sacks, and his legs were a difference maker. It's coincidental or not, but this was the best called game by Philly this year. It's so funny. When you give Miles Sanders touches, he tends to do good things. I know my Penn Staters know what I'm talking about. As it pertains to Hurts, though, you watch him, and you're like, how can he not be the starter the rest of the year? And then you see Doug Peterson in his post-game press conference start to bungle the words, and you realize there were higher powers at play. Maybe there was interference. Maybe Doug Peterson doesn't have full autonomy. And maybe he doesn't want to fully admit, even though he did it today, that Jalen Hurts is a starter going forward, because that admits mistake on his pass, because he should have done this weeks ago.
Tim, was this more about Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts for you, or the Saints giving away that one seed?
There has to be a little bit about the Saints. There was nothing in the last 3 years. They hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher. Yeah. In three seasons since 2017. And then they gave up two in one day to Sanders and Hurts. This was their third straight game on the road. That they've got the division well in hand, and maybe they're not thinking that much about the Packers and what's at stake there. But anyway, for the Eagles, I just think the energy Hurts gave him. He didn't play great. He didn't throw the ball great. But now you feel like, hey, this guy might give us a chance. The other guy was dragging us down. This guy may propel us forward.
Jackie Mack.
Sometimes it's as simple as that, isn't it, Tim? Sometimes you just need a change. Sometimes you fire the coach, and a new coach comes in, and everything changes. And I think that's exactly what happened with this team. They responded to Jalen Hurts. They looked like they were having fun, Tony. When's the last time you saw the Philadelphia Eagles having fun? And here's the other thing. When Jalen Hurts was being pressured, you know what he got? 82 yards for his team. How many negative yards? Zero. That was not happening with Carson Wentz. That's a huge difference.
I think you all agree the one seed is more important this year than any year in previous history, because there's only one bye. So New Orleans lost and Green Bay's win. Jackie, are you recalibrating how you see the whole conference now that Green Bay's won? Same for Kansas City on the other side, I guess, as well.
Well, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the midst of what could clearly be called an MVP season. I think he's the front runner at this point. And the Saints' loss gives you some pause. But I think Drew Brees will be back. I hope he isn't back next week, because I don't think you should do that if you're the Saints. You should wait till he's totally healthy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to judge the Saints without Brees. And on the other side, Kansas City wins. It's, I think, their fifth consecutive game with wins under a touchdown.
Yeah, one possession.
That makes you a little nervous, but I still believe in Patrick Mahomes. But as you can tell, I'm suddenly very passionately in love with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, so I suppose anything can happen now.
Okay. Israel Gutierrez, are you recalibrating the conferences after this weekend?
I feel like we do that every week in the NFL. Not so much in the NFC because I believe that the Saints one is just too hard to read. You know, it's just one of those games, like everything we talked about earlier. I do think that Kansas City is interesting, right? They needed a special teams touchdown there. They needed a missed field goal by the Dolphins kicker, who might be the best in the league. They needed a strange safety by Tua, and yet they gave up three interceptions Patrick Mahomes threw, and they still won. So it's just like, what can you do to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? I'm not recalibrating there. I'm just saying they weren't playing very well, and so if they actually, you know, meet up against a team that can finish the job, you know, maybe they're in a little bit of danger. But, man, how can you beat them when you do all that and they still
win? Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, Chiefs had one bad quarter. They're still the best team in the AFC. As for the NFC, I just want to say one thing about the Green Bay Packers. I live in NFC North Country. I know the way everybody else views Green Bay. They think they're the team that gets all the calls. They had 12 penalties against the Lions on Sunday. They weren't getting all the calls, and they still found a way to win. That's impressive.
Tim Kalishaw.
You mean when they beat the Colts in 66 and that field goal was no good? You're right. They got a that's ridiculous going on 54 years. Some of us remember that playoff game or whatever that game was with Tom Matty playing quarterback. But having said all that, the only recalibration you got to do in the NFC, if the Saints have the top seed, they don't have fans or they don't have many fans, so they don't have that advantage. But Green Bay has 0-degree weather. That's a difficult thing to go play playoff games. If you're Tampa Bay, if you're the Rams, if you're New Orleans, that's a big deal if Green Bay gets to be.
All right. And then you're in favor of the Chiefs, even though what you just said about that call against Baltimore. Ooh, yeah. People are talking about
terrible
that today. They really are.
Way of
taking a break. Byers still next. We'll talk about the NFC East. And to that, I say Godspeed. Godspeed. Oh, man, Deontay.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey, highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The odoriferous emanations coming from the NFC East have subsided the last 4 weeks. Divisions a combined 9-6 in the last 4 weeks, and with sizable wins, and now a new first place team. Football team. Football team is the football team in this division right now. 23-15 over San Fran. That's four straight wins for Washington, with football Giants losing and football team winning and the resurgent Eagles we talked about before. And is there anybody else in this division? I'm forgetting. Tim, what are you doing with this division?
This whole division is on fire, Tony. They're streaking toward the playoffs. It's going to be a great race. No, seriously, Washington's ahead. But keep in mind this, Philadelphia winning yesterday, game and a half behind Washington, but they play Washington in the last game, so they can make up a game right there. I think the Eagles are actually right behind Philadelphia, right behind Washington.
Emily Kaplan.
I think it's Washington's division to lose, but that's just because of their defense and Ron Rivera. Their offense sucks, and that's going to prevent them from getting any further. And if Alex Smith gets injured, and he was injured for part of yesterday, they're really screwed. You can't trust Dwayne Haskins. Coaching staff didn't lose. They lost trust with him early. And if you hear them glowing about him later in the year, that's just trying to drive up his trade value, which is zero right now.
Tell us how you really feel, Emily. That was very direct. Israel Gutierrez in the NFC East.
I mean, you could just say that about the entire division. But, yeah, that offense is definitely bad. But, fortunately, the other side of the ball is sustainable. That front four, that front defensive line has been playing great lately. And, you know, you look again, you look at the rest of the division and say, hey, what's great about any of those elements? Washington might have the strongest unit there in that front seven.
Jackie McMullen.
Emily, man, that was something else. I will tell you this. The Washington football team is 4-1 when Alex Smith is their quarterback, 2-6 without. So Alex Smith is probably going to play next week. And we keep talking about Chase Young, as we should, because he's just phenomenal. But that front four, Tony, they average 23 years old. Sweat and Darren Payne and Jonathan Allen. And that's an elite line that's going to be around. Defensive line that's going to be around for a long, long
time. Sweat, Payne, and Young. It's an incredible name, you know, that you're naming a band. Sweat, Payne, and Young. I know you guys always say no one play decides a game. How about one shoe? Does one shoe decide a game? Dan Mullen said he didn't think there was any intent to taunt from Marco Wilson and that it was a football move. Quote, a football move, end quote. LSU 37, Florida 34. Israel, our resident Gator. Did the football move shoe throw decide this game?
I thought I couldn't find anything dumber about that play or about this game other than that shoe throw until I heard Dan Mullen's response. Man, it is such an easy, teachable moment. I understand you don't want to bury the guy, but giving him an excuse for that, it cost you the game. You've done everything you needed to do. Fourth down, they were going to punt. You were getting the ball back. Did you think that the refs wouldn't see it because of the fog? It was embarrassing. It was terrible. Goodbye, Gators. See you next year.
Look, when Israel gets really emotional and animated, I mean, that you were full grandma, Italian grandma there. That was amazing. Jackie McMullen, how about you?
Yeah, this was not a football move. This was a boothead move like I've never seen in my life. And I do feel badly for Marco Wilson. Maybe I'm the only one. I know it was a spur-of-the-moment decision, obviously a very bad one. But he's still a kid who acted in the heat of the moment. And I feel badly for him because I think he's going to be hearing about this for a long time to come, especially guys like Israel and our producer, Aaron Solomon.
Tim Kalishaw.
It is an unfortunate move. My favorite thing is Marco Wilson, after he does it, he literally tries to hide behind his teammates.
There's that too.
Bigger Gator standing there, and he's like getting behind him from the ref, like maybe if they don't see me, they won't call me for it.
Emily Kaplan.
I love listening to Dan Mullen after the game because he sounds like the only person personally affected by this pandemic. He was also salty that his team's not going to make the playoffs and teams that played less football. Well, yes, Dan, that's it. Go wear your mask.
Buy or sell three. There are betting odds on Cleveland baseball's new nickname and spiders getting a lot of love. That goes back 133 years. The New York Times report that a change is coming after years of protests from fans and Native American groups. And they're moving away from a moniker that has long been criticized as racist, cites three people familiar with the decision. The team did make a statement today saying they will keep the nickname for this year. Emily, how do you consider the name change? How do you consider that? And you have a vote for a new name?
I like the spiders are finding a way to honor Larry Doby. As for the name change, I feel like the Chiefs, the Braves, the Blackhawks, they're now on the clock. And as it turns to the Blackhawks, I don't think they're going to change their name until they get pressure from either a league or a sponsor. And it was interesting when the NHL and Adidas put out a video for the jersey reveals and the retro jerseys earlier in the year. They did everything possible not to show the front of the jersey. It was conspicuous and it could have been telling.
Israel Gutierrez.
This nickname doesn't deserve a farewell tour. How do you not have a backup plan or a plan of any sort? At least Washington just went with Washington football team. And now that they're, you know, atop that division, it doesn't look so bad. Just do anything. You're not going to be able to get through the full year with Indians again and not have people, you know, yelling at you about it.
Jackie McMullen.
If you really believe you're doing the right thing, then do the right thing. And do it immediately. This boggles my mind. You might as well have not even bothered. And this should have been done, by the way, 20 years ago, because that's how long we've been talking about it. As for a new nickname, the most poisonous snake in the state of Ohio, Tony, do you know what it is? It's the Northern Copperhead. So call them the Cleveland Copperheads. Let them be venomous, because the way they're handling this right now is pretty poisonous, okay?
Mm-hmm. And Tim Kalishaw.
The Cleveland Browns are named after a person. What is wrong with naming the Cleveland baseball team after its greatest pitcher from the last team to win the World Series, the Goodfellas? Tony, I know you're with me on this. The Cleveland Goodfellas. Let's go.
I had no idea, but I'm in love with that. Apparently, there's trademark issues with somebody having squatted potentially on Cleveland baseball team and on the Spiders. But if that's the case, pay up. I mean, as Israel and Jackie said, if you made the decision to change the name, you don't just sit around for a year after deciding, oh, it's racist. Emily, Jackie, thanks for your thoughts today. Israel and Tim, showdown in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Kalishaw, Gutierrez, good luck in showdown. Most meaningful preseason debut. LaMelo Ball was showtime. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry made it without getting hurt. And there were some new look Rockets to some rave reviews. Tim Kalishaw, most meaningful preseason debut.
I'm going to go with those Rockets, showing there will be life without James Harden if it goes that way. John Wall looking fast. DeMarcus Cousins looking healthy. These guys can play with or without Harden.
You have no idea if there will be life with or without Harden in that team. I'd say it's the Warriors. I say it's Steph Curry. Even without Klay Thompson there, you feel like they can be a playoff team as long as that guy stays healthy. That was the most important thing I thought.
There are times when a line is delivered and it takes a few minutes to settle in. Tim Kalishaw, the Cleveland Goodfellas, good Bob Fellers, good fellas. I mean, this is just now it's setting in, and look at the points you're getting.
Okay.
One guy's going one way, one guy's going the other way. Kalishaw's like, hey, what do you want from me? 30 seconds of FaceTime.
The delay reaction, it happens. Today's the 100th anniversary of the death of George Gipp, immortalized in Hollywood with the win one for the Gipper speech as a clean-cut All-American player. In reality, he was All-American on the field. He was not clean-cut. He lived in a hotel downtown. He gambled and drank and smoked all night. He never, hardly ever went to class. He never finished high school. Technically, he never showed up for his draft notice, so he was a draft dodger, if you want to call him that. Whoa, not to rain on his parade, but the original entitled athlete, that's really what he set the stage for 100 years ago.
Thunderstorm on the parade.
I got nothing. We'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Hour is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly.